Kay Williams from your public affairs team. Joining me today on the pod is Colonel Richard Switzer, the 130th Airlift Wing Commander, and Chief Master Sergeant Jeffrey King, the 130th Wing Command Chief. Good morning, gentlemen. How are you guys doing today?
Doing great, Sergeant Williams. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, good morning, TK. Doing really well. Thank you.
All right. Well, I'm definitely looking forward to the new year, Colonel Switzer and Chief King. But before we get started, I would like to ask, when you reflect on 2025, what stands out for you about that year?
Well, thanks for asking. You typically start thinking about all the things you're going to do in the new year. It is nice to take a pause and think about how the last year went. And from our perspective, the wing just performed in an exceptional manner. We could look at several things. Obviously, very busy. We're very busy every year, wing supporting all the things that we have to do as an airlift wing. We're reminded that, you know, we don't just have a federal mission in the Air National Guard. We have a state mission. And so we look at some of the support we provided to the joint state missions in the previous year. There were many, few of them that we could talk about. The Operation Safe and Beautiful in D.C., which kicked off towards the latter half of the year, maybe in August. And I think you're familiar with that, TK. You went to D.C. and spent some time up there, right?
I did, sir. Yeah, I was there from about middle of September until the end of November. So I did go up there, and I functioned as a public affairs specialist, and it was a good experience. I learned a lot while I was there, and I got to work in a joint setting. So it was a good learning experience for me.
Yeah, I think any time we can get our airmen away from the unit and to operate in their AFSC or maybe kind of in a different lane or a different flavor of what they normally do here at the wing, it's really beneficial. And what we saw, and Chief and I had a chance to go up there and visit airmen in D.C., and what we saw is what we expect of our airmen is that they just, you know, performed at a very high level. We're doing a lot of things to support the mission up there, everything from, you know, the Task Force Mountaineer to what you guys were doing with the PA, you know, folks serving on the higher headquarters staff and doing all those things. And, yeah, things have gone really well. We continue to do that. Got members of various units still up there and going to continue to support that mission at least until the end of next month, and then we'll see what happens going from there. Chief, did you want to say anything about that?
No, I will, like, highlight when we went to D.C., and we expect and we know that our airmen do, like, high performance, but we went up there, and other units were telling us about how well our airmen were doing and the high performance, and, you know, just super proud of that mission that we did and still ongoing and the support that we give to that, so...
Yeah, it's always great. You know, we know it. My niece would tell you it's not bragging if it's true, and we know how well this wing performs. But it is always great to hear from other folks about how they perform. It's just reassuring. It feels good. It's nice to share that with the airmen and let them know that the work they're doing matters. If we go back even further in the year, really just right after General Seward came on as the new tag, we had some significant flooding in West Virginia. And again, our airmen stepped up right away, volunteered, got out there. We're helping support local communities, clean up and all that. You know, typically what we see is our loader dump teams go out. We also had other folks stepped up to support the Joint Operations Center here in Charleston and really just doing anything that was needed. And then we, you know, kind of wrapped out our support to the state in the midst of the federal government shutdown. You know, there's some challenges with funding and those things, and there were, you know, thousands of citizens in West Virginia that were in need in terms of food and sustenance, and we activated and had several volunteers come on to state active duty to support the food pantry and food bank effort here in West Virginia. And, you know, that was, again, just really awesome to see. Anything you want to talk about there, Chief?
Just overall with our state missions, what we did with the flood recovery and the D.C. and the food banks, it's, you know, it's an important part that we do for our communities, and that's why our communities see us directly and we get to interact. And I think that's, I know we have the federal part of the mission, but our state and the way we form up and we're out in our communities is super proud. And I think our airmen are mostly proud of our state mission that they do. And then if you even think about more about our state mission we do this year, government shutdown and pre-deployment for our first MGFE, which we'll probably talk about later on. But, you know, we did all those amidst all like the challenges we had, and we had airmen volunteer, and we met all of our taskers, and we did great, I think, outside in the community.
Yeah, that's a great point. the wing just, you know, continues to exceed standards even when there's, whether they're planned or unplanned challenges that are presented to us, which is a great segue into, you know, a big chunk of what we did last year with supporting our federal Title 10 mission. So as the chief mentioned, we sent our AES, our Air Medical Evacuation Squadron, out the door about the middle of the year. We participated in a multitude of exercises. So all the units were very involved in a number of different exercises throughout, not just the United States, but overseas. Participated in supporting INDOPACOM's largest exercise, which was Reefer Pack. That was primarily an ops maintenance and mission support efforts. Medical group also supported that, and the ops air crews and the teams there got to flex their muscles, if you will, and doing some things that they normally don't get to do here at home station, which that's why we do those things. It's an opportunity to stretch ourselves, excel in our AFSC training, but also put ourselves in a situation where we can really challenge our individual airmen and the units and see where we're at compared to where we need to be. And they all performed in a very exceptional manner. And then lastly, I'd say we closed out the year really strong in terms of strength and retention. Our strength increased last year, and we talk about our efforts to do that 2026. And we had over a 90% retention rate, which exceeds NGB's goal for individual wings. And again, that's just a testament to, we want the wing to be a place where people want to be a part of what we're doing. And when you see those high retention rates, that's reflective of the culture we have here and the sense of belonging and what it means to be a part of this organization and being a part of mission execution.
Yeah, Colonel, I'd like to highlight AES deployment a little bit. So this is a six-month deployment for them. And a lot of times they don't get much coverage as maybe the ops and maintenance does a little bit going out the door. But they go out the door all the time. They're like one of the most deployed squadrons on this base, and they do an excellent job. And just recently, Airman Albright and Airman Perry have been highlighted over in CENTCOM area where they've been working, like the training and the work they've been doing. So just kudos to them. And then, you know, with the MGFE and our J model unit deployed just the other day, they highlighted one of our C-130s helping out a CE unit carrying like one that, I don't know, it was like some kind of truck that they usually don't load or whatever, but they kind of highlighted that. It was a big deal that they usually don't do, but yeah, they're just out there killing it, you know, AES and our J unit with the ops and maintenance out there still. So,
yeah, it's significant because that's the first operational deployment for the J model for this unit. So we started that conversion process back in 2021, came out of conversion about 2.5 years after we officially started. And, you know, it was a lot of challenges when you're going through an aircraft conversion. And a lot of people might look at the J model and say, well, it's just another C-130, and it's not. It's completely different crew complement. And, you know, just again, it's a reflection of how well the unit does and from all across, because it's not just the ops and maintenance. It takes everybody to get those aircraft off the ground. And they're out there doing their thing right now in their first operational deployment, like the chief said, killing it. So we're super proud of them as well.
All right. So with our first UTA of the new year coming up, what's been on our minds as we move into 2026?
Well, for the chief and I, you know, our focus areas, our priorities are going to be ready airmen development and mission execution. And we'll talk a little bit this month about the ready airmen concept as we see it. And really our goal there for all our airmen is to be qualified and proficient in their AFSC and working towards mastery of their craft. Yeah, I said this in the change of command speech in October. It's the singular thing that sets the Air Force apart from every other service is the focus on our technical expertise. And it doesn't stop, you know, once you hit the NCO level. We continue to refine our technical expertise across the board. And so one of our goals for 2026 is to provide the units more time to be able to get after AFSC training. And so what we're going to see is not really changes to how we do the drill schedule, but we're going to target some specific drills throughout the year where we're going to have some wing-wide focused events that are pretty significant muscle movements, you know, things that we're going to do. And by aligning that to those specific drills, our goal is that we're going to be able to give time back to the units and to the airmen so that they can do their AFSC specific training. And I'll let Chief talk, you know, what we've got going on in March as kind of a look ahead to that first effort for one of those big muscle movements.
Yeah, so like you said, Colonel, March is our first big muscle movement that the wing's taking a little bit from the squadrons, and we're going to ask for, like, the participation. So we have the March Madness, which has been very successful from the medical standpoint and ground physicals for our ground support teams. And then we're doing a wing-wide fitness assessment using the new standard. And I know those are two big muscle movements for that drill weekend. And really our goal for that, I believe, is really just to test our process. Like, how can we really test 1,000 airmen during a drill weekend? And then the second big goal is, like, give our airmen their assessment. Like, where do I stand with these new goals? Because there's not that many changes, right? You have the 2-mile run, and then you have the waist body composition coming back. But that scoring is going to be different. And so it's really important for our airmen to find out where we stand. So when we start testing later in the year, they can really train for that test when it really matters. So,
yeah. So for March, we're going to do a wing-wide fitness diagnostic assessment. So it's not a official fitness test or assessment as we're familiar with. Everybody will take it, but it'll be a diagnostic. So like the chief said, we can see where we stand. And then when we look ahead to September, we'll begin in September with the actual scored test that will count towards airmen's fitness. And I think it's what Chief says is a good point. So sometimes the standards change, whether we're doing 1.5 miles or 2 miles. It's hard to say right now because it seems like those things keep changing. But the bottom line is that fitness is readiness. And so we want to message that to everybody, that we need everybody to be fit in order to be ready to go. And that's part of why we're doing the wing-wide diagnostic test in March. And the FSS is, like they do in a lot of areas, because they support everything that this wing does in terms of how our airmen are able to go execute their individual missions and supporting the units. So the FSS is leading the charge on that, and they're going to come back to us in February with kind of the outline and all the instructions and how all that stuff's going to work. And it's going to be a pretty heavy lift, but we're confident that the wing's going to do well. And where we don't do well, we'll just take notes, and we'll get better for September. Beyond that, we'll look ahead to a couple other things that we're going to do this year. Chief talked about the March medical mass processing for the ground PHAs. That's really been a true success for the med group, and so they're going to duplicate that on a smaller scale with their flight physicals for those that are required to have those, and they'll do those in May and November. And again, that's an effort to give time back to the unit. So they're going to consolidate all the physicals into 2 months of the year. And in that way, those airmen that have line training requirements and other operational training requirements will be able to target those months, know that that's when they're going to get their individual physicals. The medical group will do those in mass. And that'll, again, should give time back to the units and to the airmen.
And Colonel, like, kind of rounding out the ready airmen perspective of it too. So to have ready airmen, we had to have airmen here to do it, right? So our goal and our drive's to 1075. So we really would like to get our total strength up to 1075 personnel. So I know that's one of your goals.
Yeah, absolutely, Chief. Ultimately, over the next 2 years, we want to go, I think we're at like 97% manned right now. Over the next 2 years, we want to shoot for a pretty big number and get to 101% manning, which is that's a stretch goal, to say the least, but this wing is capable of a lot of big things. And so we're putting that target out there, which this year means we want to get to 1,075. That's what Chief's talking about. The drive for 1075 is to get 1,075 airmen assigned to the wing. And that's going to take everybody. You know, we got a strong recruiting team. They've consolidated the two wing recruiting teams under headquarters, under the new recruiting command, and they're doing great work down there. If you've seen their social media presence, they've got a bunch of really funny, entertaining, and things that are reaching out to, I think, different parts of the population, which is great. But it also means that we have to be recruiters as well. And so we have to be out there telling our story, letting people know how great the wing is and all the opportunities that are available here in Charleston for folks in West Virginia and beyond to be able to serve and do the great things that we do. So that's definitely a goal for this year. Get to 1075 by the end of 2026. And then the last big thing that we're going to ask of the wing is our inspection cycle got moved a little bit to the right. We were planning on doing a flyaway readiness exercise in September already. We're not going to do an exercise, but we are going to do a flyaway training. And it's going to be a little bit different flavor this year. The focus, just like we've talked about, is going to be on AFSC-specific training. And so we want our airmen and our units – to have the opportunity to train in ways that will help prepare their airmen for war, the next fight, whatever that might look like. And so how that's going to be a little bit different is that we are charging the units with allowing their, maybe not their most junior airmen, but their younger airmen. So NCOs, company grade officers, are the ones that are leading the planning on this. They know, they're the experts in their areas. They know where they need work and what experiences will help them get better in terms of mastering their AFSC and supporting their unit's mission. And so that planning just kicked off last month, but we'll do that in September. We'll take about half the wing with us and a few airplanes, and we're going to do a variety of things. And we'll also, that'll be when we come back and get our official fitness test for the year. And for those airmen that don't go, they'll be here at home station, and they'll be doing similar things here, you know, training within their AFSC. We're going to throw some scenarios at them. We're going to put some people in some positions that they normally aren't in, and instead of standing up our normal like wing battle staff or CAT or what have you with the wing leadership, we're actually going to put some junior folks in there and get them around the table and throw some different scenarios at them and allow them the opportunity to see what that's like. And then we hope that they'll be doing that all the way down to the unit level as well. So we're really looking forward to what that's going to shape up to be in September.
Yeah, I'm super excited about September. I think especially with not the more seasoned people planning it, you know, our junior airmen officers planning it, you're going to get some fresh ideas and innovation, and then allowing the squadrons to really pick what they want to test. You know, they know what's best for them, where they weak at and where they're strong at. So I'm really excited to see what September brings, and you know, I think we'll have some excellent training come out of that.
Yeah, it's, I think when we sat down with them, Chief, the guidance we gave them was a little bit vague and open-ended, and I think the words we used was like choose your own adventure. And, you know, we don't want to say that this is a freebie, but because we're not, you know, grading this in a true exercise fashion, you know, we're not going to have necessarily like a robust measle or anything like that. We're, you know, we're actually, you know, going to have just several different types of training opportunities for the individual units and then for us as a wing as a whole. So there is an opportunity here for people really to get creative, be innovative, and what they bring to the table for this training. So it should be a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of work. My hat's off to the folks that have stepped up, because we asked for volunteers for planning, and that's what we got, which is fantastic. It's a good opportunity for folks that normally don't get to be involved in planning something of that scale. So that's kind of the outlook for 2026. We come back to this weekend specifically. We've got some hails and farewells we want to talk a little bit about. So first, we're going to welcome brand new Mission Support Group Commander. We're going to do an assumption of command on Sunday morning for Colonel Croson. He comes to us by way of the 167th in Martinsburg, and then he did a stint in headquarters as the Director of Personnel, or A1, for the state. Chris is a super talented guy. He's got a lot of different experience. He just came off of a deployment where he was the Airbase Group Commander for the XAB, and so we know he's going to bring that wealth of experience and knowledge to the table. This is his first week on the job, so he's knee deep, as they say, or he's got the fire hose thing going on, but Chris is going to do outstanding. And we said goodbye to Colonel Thomas last month, so we're going to welcome Colonel Croson this month, and we'll do that on Sunday. We're also going to be saying farewell to Lieutenant Colonel Stephen Busey, the Civil Engineering Squadron Commander. Steve's done a fantastic job in CE and really just been an outstanding commander for us and a great officer. We hate to lose him, but he's got an opportunity a little bit closer to home, and so we support that, and we're going to welcome Joe Hartwell. Major Joe Hartwell is going to be the next Civil Engineering Squadron Commander, so Colonel Croson will execute that change of command Sunday afternoon. And then we got to say goodbye to a couple people, right, Chief?
We do. We got to say goodbye to a couple people, and I'll start with Chief Miller. Unfortunately, we had to say goodbye to him. I've worked with him for a long time now, when I was up in ops and him security forces, and Chief's just an awesome guy. I mean, he's very humble. He's very approachable. He's honest, but he also always found a way to say yes, or found a way to get to the end if you ever asked him for something. So we're going to really miss him. He's been a staple in this wing for probably over 30 years, and just hate to see him go, but wish him the best in retirement.
Yeah, and he's not really leaving, right?
No, he's not.
So he's leaving. He's retired on the military side, I think, effective the end of last month, December. But fortunately, we were able to keep him on, you know, work as an MA employee in civil engineering. So you're going to see Chief out there doing some of the things he likes to do, like cutting grass and taking care of business around the base. So he had an outstanding career. And like the Chief said here, he's just, Chief Miller's just been fantastic, really good mentor to so many, both enlisted and officers within the wing. So while we're sad to see his military career come to an end, we're happy that he's still going to be part of the team at large, and we'll get to see his smiling face as he's running around the base taking care of things for us. So, and then we're going to sort of say goodbye to Lieutenant Colonel Dumron Kitteman. So he was the wing chief of staff for the last couple of years, and prior to that he was at IG as the wing IG. So it's really congratulations to Vic. He's going to promote 06 to colonel on Saturday at 1500 over at Joint Force Headquarters. He's the new A1 for Headquarters West Virginia Air National Guard. And Vic's done an outstanding job supporting the wing in a number of capacities over the years. And we hate to lose him from the wing, but we know the state's going to get stronger because he just does an outstanding job. So congratulations to Colonel D on that outstanding achievement.
Yeah, you know, I never worked with Colonel D very much while I was in ops. And he's been, you know, he was in maintenance and IG for a while, but then I came down here and we really kind of, it took us like a few weeks to connect. You know, he's kind of quiet and, you know, we really didn't mesh that well. But then once we started talking and getting to know each other, I mean, he's just a great dude. And the work, he outworks a lot of people. I mean, behind the scenes and the way he has a strategic thought about it. And he just, you can tell he has a lot of experience. He loves what he does. And he's just a hard worker. So I really congratulations to him making colonel.
Yeah, absolutely. Super happy for him. And then we got some recognition to do, right, Chief?
Yeah, specifically, we have the Outstanding Airman of the Quarter for fourth quarter. I'd like to announce that Marissa Cobb from COM won the Airman category. And then David Klein won the NCO category. He's from Hydraulics. And then Master Sergeant Zachary Cook, Senior NCO category. He's from FSS. He won that. So congratulations to all of them. We're going to try to highlight them and recognize them at Commander's Call this Friday. And then we also selected the OAY winners and the First Sergeant of the Year winners, which I'm going to hold off because I want to make sure the OAQ gets their just dues first. But we'll recognize the OAYs probably February or March at Commander's Call as well.
Yeah, just a small example of all the outstanding performers we have in the wing. And I know the OAY winners are going to compete at the state level in the next couple of weeks, and hopefully we pick up some hardware there as well. But either way, they've done a phenomenal job this year. And, again, just another example of great folks we have within the wing. So,
yeah, and the whole program Chief Williams set up, and he did a great job setting that up. And I never changed when I came in here because you get so many submissions, which is kind of twofold. Like, you get to read all the awesome work their airmen doing, but then you have to choose somebody. And choosing somebody is really hard because they're all winners. It's just hard to pick one. But I just really appreciate Chief Williams setting up that 1206 process the way he did, but I do really appreciate the supervisors and the squadrons really submitting those 1206s. Gives us a chance to recognize some of our great airmen, and I think even if they're not selected, the airmen still feel proud that they were submitted. So kudos to all the supervisors and everybody that submitted 1206s this year.
Yeah, absolutely. Recognition is definitely important. We got a lot of people doing a lot of great things, and we want to take that time to recognize our folks for doing that. We got to shake off the holiday haze, as it were, and get back to business. We've had a couple good weeks of being able to give folks some time back, and that's important, but it's time to get back after it this weekend. And it begins and ends with readiness at the wing, and so that's where our focus needs to be.
Well, you know, a good way to shake off the haze is maybe Saturday at 15:30 at the wing fitness event. Yeah, so we're going to provide opportunity every drill to do a fitness event. And honestly, it's the culture we're trying to change here. We just, because being, like you said, being ready, being fit is being ready. They go hand in hand. But it's not ultimately about the final score that you get. It's about the lifestyle and the mindset that you put into it. So we just want to get out, really, and just promote fitness. But really, the camaraderie that you have in that kind of group setting is awesome.
And that's going to do it for this episode of The Drop. For more information about the 130th Airlift Wing, visit us on the web at 130thaw.ang.af.mil. Additionally, you can find us on all major social media platforms. Lastly, you can see us in the skies delivering freedom with courage. This is Staff Sergeant TK Williams reminding you to stay ready to go.